Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed Grease 2 last week for our 50th episode anniversary. Spectacular.
From the episode, anyway. We know you didn't enjoy the movie because that would be impossible
it
as human beings.
It would be absolutely impossible.
But there's a crossover.
So many people gave us feedback. Oh, there's a crossover?
Well, between last week and this week, we have an actor in common.
We do have a crossover. There were so many people that were like, the movie's crap, but I love the soundtrack. I'm like, no.
As we're watching Grease 2, the main thing I kept remarking was none of these songs are catchy.
No.
None of them are like, you're not going to be like, you know.
Nothing's good.
You're not going to have any of these songs stuck in your head later.
No.
At all. They're all just... They're all terrible. They're all like forced. It was like they sat around. They were like, "Well, we need a song here." Yeah. Well, I don't fucking know. Just we have to have it done in an hour, so just write
Everything
something.
Everything was very unprepared and rushed.
It was terrible. You can't do that with musicals. I don't think. I think they need to be prepared ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's the life lesson. Prepare your musicals ahead of time.
Yeah, if you're writing a musical, make sure it's all ironed out. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Yes.
We're going to, you know, say all the wonderful thanks for being here with us to relive these movies in painful and excruciating detail. We're also going to thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews,
as well as
your Patreon donations. Thank you so much for those. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We do 90 Day Fiancé. We talk Below Deck, all wonderful reality television shows. We play Plotsy. We play Make Your Own Rom-Com. We talk old ads. And this week, James was begging me. He was pleading me. He wants to play the Make Your Own Rom-Com game again. So he
I need
wants
to redeem myself.
That. Yeah, because he got Gene Hackman.
I was getting like Gene Hackman and a 12-year-old as they needed to be there.
It was Julia Roberts.
Either way, 12-year-old. It wasn't right. It just didn't work.
James got a shit draw on that one. So we're gonna play the Make Your Own Rom-Com game again, where we choose our main character, our love interest, where they live. What they have to overcome and
whatever the job,
the jobs that they have. Yeah. So it's super fun.
We have
a good time and I spent fucking hours making this game. So we're fucking playing it. And James really did ask to play it.
I did.
Okay. We'll do that next week. Last week we watched Grease 2, James.
How can they get that bonus material?
I told them on patreon.com/YouGotHeigled.
Oh, there? How do you spell it again?
Oh, my God. You were not paying attention
no,
to me.
No, I did.
Me.
I just wanted
it was
you to repeat
YouGotHeigled.
Because I always forget how to spell it.
J-A-M-E-S.
I always forget how to spell it, so I'm like, I don't know. Let's give another spelling there, because I don't remember. I forget all the time.
Okay, so this week, we watched Rumor Has It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be called Rumor Has It. It should just be called Everybody Wants to Fuck Kevin Costner.
Well, no. That was the original title. It was Rumor Has It. Everyone Wants to Fuck Kevin Costner.
And then they were like, listen,
we can't put the F word on a movie poster.
But everyone wants Costner's cock in this movie.
Yep.
And every movie.
And every this movie is, that he is in, yeah.
This is before we get started with this movie. We must preface this with the fact that there's a thing about Kevin Costner in all his movies.
Yeah.
Where
it's a magnetism, James.
Everyone. Yeah. Man, woman, child, alien, animal, you
Main
name
character,
it.
Extra.
They all want to fuck Kevin Costner. They don't know why, even.
It's
they don't
true.
Even know why. Young,
what,
old.
What movie was that movie where his actual daughter was in it?
The Postman.
The Postman.
The Postman, which is the best bad movie of all time. One of them.
It's really delightful. Top three. Yeah. If you are just like, you know what? This next 3 hours of my life mean nothing. I'm such a pathetic human being. You should absolutely watch The Postman. And then you'll actually feel more inspired. You'll feel better.
Yeah. It's the best failed epic of all time.
It's great.
It's great. And in this movie is his actual daughter, Little Cosner, Cosnerette.
Yeah.
And she's in the movie playing a young postal, you know, whatever startup with
and
him.
And she wants to fuck Kevin Costner.
And at the dance scene, right before Ford Lincoln Mercury comes up and asks her to dance, she's like, "You want to dance?" And he's like, walks away or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, "I really wanted to fuck Kevin Costner." And it's his actual daughter.
And
everybody wants Coscock.
Right before the scene, they're like, "Okay, and remember, you really want to fuck him." And it's okay, I don't need any direction here. I obviously want to fuck my dad.
That's the thing. In the whole, the premise of The Postman, besides the fact of post-apocalypse and everything, but the point is that they need him. They need his seed. They need Cos seed.
Of course.
That's the thing. Well, that's what they need, is because they have the couple that he ends up banging that lady the whole time. They like ask him, "Will you bang her? Because your sperm is good." And in this movie, it's not good.
Yeah.
So what happened?
But okay, let's move on with this.
Sorry.
So remember, we're doing 3 weeks on, 1 week off.
Yeah.
We did 1 week last week, and then we've got two, and then we'll be off Dead to the World on September 21st.
Yeah, well, we'll be reviewing more Cosner footage, I believe, and you know,
we're gonna have to, because we're gonna need.
I'm gonna get out my jeweler's loop and figure out why everyone wants to fuck him. So we need to figure it out.
Okay, so James and I discussed this because, okay, essentially, it's Cosnerism, okay? Instead of Darwinism, it's Cosnerism. He must be here to further our society and our population. He's Kevin Costner, and that's all. He's just...
He's the cause.
He's the cause.
It needs to be laid down.
Yeah.
And in this universe of this movie, much like other universes of movies that he inhabits, he is the king shit of Fuck Mountain. He is... Everybody loves him. We're talking multi-generational. The premise of the movie is he fucks every woman through a family line of three generations.
And has no problem with it.
No.
Disgusting.
And neither do they.
All right. Let's get into this. We can just talk about how much we love Kevin Costner instead of how much we hated this movie, but that's not what we're here to do.
Hey, listen.
Maybe we'll have a whole Patreon episode and maybe we'll get Kevin Costner on it.
As long as we let his band play, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, somebody ask Kevin Costner in the Modern West.
But yeah.
They'd like to be on our Patreon.
What do you think, Cos?
Rumor has it, 2005, 1 hour 37 minutes. Thank God.
But I could always use more Cos. That's the thing.
Always.
The thing is, it's like an hour 37. You get maybe 25 minutes of Costner.
No, he showed up like 40 minutes in.
He shows up at 34 minutes and 40 seconds into the movie. I just happened
to. Not that I noticed.
Not that I was looking. But that's when he shows up. And then he's in it for, hot and heavy for like 20 minutes, and then it's spotty Cos after that.
Yeah, Cos is not the Cos that
we like. It's not the Cos. I want Cos to... Okay, I want
all
the movie
Cos
to open.
All the time.
Scene of Cos with Cos voiceover.
I want Cos
like
voiceover. Yeah, yes,
you know.
Yes. Essentially, I want all movies to be like The Postman.
Exactly. I want Costner to do the voiceover and to be the main character in everything. I'd like to if you're going to remake movies all the time, do it. But make Kevin Costner the main character. It could be any movie.
This is going to happen to me.
Any movie. You could remake Boys in the Hood. Make Costner, give him the Ice Cube character, and I think it would be great.
No.
Listen, guys.
I knew this was going to be unbearable.
I found a body.
I didn't want to do a Kevin Costner movie because I would be crying the whole time. Okay, shut up. Okay, it's starring Jennifer Aniston, Kevin Costner, Kevin the Costner.
Big Cos.
Mark Ruffalo. Ruffles is magic. And he is magic again in this movie. And Shirley MacLaine. The IMDb description is: Sarah Huttinger is a woman who learns that her family was the inspiration for the book and film The Graduate, and that she just might be the offspring of the well-documented event.
And also, the Ruffles calls her Sarah Huntinger through the movie, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, he always calls her Huntinger.
I never noticed
This is like an over-the-top situation with like a Hawk and Hawks. This is the same type of thing where
Mark Ruffalo, what did you mean? Did you mess up your lines?
She's called Huttinger and Huntinger alternating in this movie.
This is like a weird Mandela effect because like, yeah. like the Berenstain Bears. I'm like, no, I don't remember him saying that.
I remember when he was on the phone, he was looking, my fiance, Sarah Huntinger. And I'm like, he said Huntinger. But I used to. I don't know if it was just the accent, but he sounded like Huntinger, which
I'm like.
Do you
think maybe he was looking for me?
I think he was looking for you secretly. I think it was a... we did take edibles, but I still think it was a wink and a nod. And Ruffles is magic, so he could have known who's watching.
He is magic. Okay, listen.
He could have known. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the tagline.
All right, hit me with it.
It's based on a true rumor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every movie should say that.
The fun fact really is how much we love Kevin Costner. Okay.
The fun fact is I've seen all of Kevin Costner's movies because I think it's hilarious
that
everyone wants to fuck him.
So we love Kevin Costner. He is the sun. He is the moon. He is the earth. He is the stars. He's our one and only.
Yeah.
Okay. This film takes place apparently in 1997.
Yeah.
And also, James, this is a really epic fact. Are you ready?
Yeah, 97, it's funny because why would you make a movie in 2005 about 1997 when the fact that it's 1997 is completely insignificant?
Yeah,
in the
movie. Then it makes us believe that we have 8 years, like 8 extra years of Kevin Costner.
I guess. Maybe if there's some time to catch up and get the little sister. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I don't know why. Maybe it's for technology because that way the cell phone, you would leave
or maybe
your phone
like,
by 2005.
Is,
you
no,
had your phone.
I have no idea.
I don't know why
don't know.
They would do that. It makes no sense.
Discuss. Okay. Yeah. But the fun fact, James, this is the first movie in history to be released to HD DVD.
Oh.
So you got a high resolution, high definition disc and a standard definition disc.
So yeah, crisp cause. Of course
yeah,
that's
you
what you want.
Well, yeah, they're like, listen, which movie should we release as an HD DVD? Obviously the next one that comes out with Kevin Costner.
I mean, Costner, let's see it. Let's see him.
He's got hard K sounds in his name. He's...
You want to see that you want to see the wispy hair. You want to see it right crispy. That's the thing. I want to see the individual hairs of his wisp.
Yeah, I want to look into his eyes are like pools, James.
I want to look into his blue eyes and I want to think. I want to think. No wonder why all these women.
This is going to be a problem.
The move. We're just going to talk about Costner the whole time. I don't know if we're going to get through the plot or not. We're going to get to our normal amount of time
Kevin
and then.
Plotner.
Wherever we are. The plot is totally irrelevant in this movie,
the
plot's too.
So gross, too. Okay.
He fucked all three generations. That's the plot. The rest of it, we could do whatever we want with. That's the whole plot. That's it. There's nothing else to it. I'm sorry.
No, there's a ton to it. Okay. It's based on a true rumor. It begins with a voiceover of Jennifer Aniston, which, as we know, in these worlds, so there are good movies, obviously, that have voiceover. But in these worlds, generally, if your movie is starting out with a voiceover, it's not good.
In a rom-com.
In a rom-com, no good. So we're beginning New Year's Eve in 1962 in Pasadena, California.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston is telling us about a 41-year-old woman and a 22-year-old man, and that the 22-year-old man slept with the 41-year-old woman, and then she also slept with the 41-year-old woman's daughter, and daughter married somebody else. It's really boring you to tears. And then we find out that the graduate is born. We find out that Pasadena is full of gossip. We find out that this is the first of many times that we will hear the word Pasadena.
It's the most said word in the history of any movie ever.
Yeah,
ever
Pasadena,
done.
Pasadena, Pasadena, Pasadena.
The first 15 minutes.
But I guess everybody from Pasadena, because like, remember in Blast from the Past?
Yeah. But I think that's too. They were just trying to like hammer it home where they are. Like, it's L.A., but it's Pasadena. It's not L.A.
Yeah.
Like, because it's very different if you've been. It isn't the same at all.
But it's not. It's not like Kevin Costner.
It's
just Pasadena.
Yeah.
Pasadena.
They should have just said Costner over and over again. Pick a word. Pick a word in the script. And you can do this in like Final Draft. You can take a word and replace it with another word. So just pick a word and then replace it completely. I mean, and a common maybe that or is or something like that. Replace it with
or
Costner.
Or just replace all words with Costner.
Like Smurf and the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Like, get me a glass of Costner.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I
okay, that's
so
how
too.
We're going to rewrite all of our movies here. So then the movie The Graduate is made, and then now we're up to present day with Jennifer Aniston, and she's on the plane with Ruffles, Mark Ruffalo. There's like one really weird jerk of turbulence, and she goes, "What is that?"
Yeah, she like freaks.
We're supposed to kind of get the sense that she's super high strung and like crazy right now.
But every movie, she's the American female Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Every movie she's in, she's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm, and she's like, you got to touch your face a lot. And she, it's like, Hugh Grant, calm down. What the fuck are you doing? Relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really great.
Hot women don't act like that. Stop it.
We're introduced to that they are engaged because Mark Ruffalo says, you're not wearing your engagement ring. She tells him that she's not wearing the engagement ring because her fingers get swollen on the plane. And then he's like, okay, but when you land, you'll put it on, right? And she's like, well, no, because I don't want to steal my sister's thunder. And it's her wedding weekend. And that's like a really weird thing to do. It's not that big of a deal. You don't have to like... You don't have to like run in and be like, I'm engaged. Go fuck your wedding.
Yeah,
like, you can be cool.
You can live your life.
Yeah, you can live your life. It's all good.
Understand.
So Jennifer Aniston just randomly says like, hey, you want to go have sex in the bathroom? And this was I don't want to say that the weirdest scene is when Jennifer Aniston decides that she wants to fuck Kevin Costner, who has also fucked her mom and her grandma.
That's weird, but it's understandable.
It's understandable.
It is Costner, after
this
all.
This is the weirdest scene in the movie because it felt so forced. Like, they're like, because when they get in there, it's very comical. Okay, so she's like, let's go have sex in the bathroom. And Ruffles is like, well, no, because the lighting's always bad in there and there's no room and, you know, da 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 da. And so then they just get up and then go bang in there. But they're like trying to get around each other. My shoe fell off. This must just be for the physical comedy to be like, hey, by the way, everyone, this is a comedy.
Because they were going to have a boring conversation about her emotions after that. So they're like, okay, they probably had it normally in the first draft. It's probably just sitting on the plane.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, let's make it funny beforehand. Otherwise, it's this voiceover and then an emotional conversation. So let's make it silly. And they keep giving Ruffles, like you kept bringing it up too, all these lines.
Oh, Ruffles. Ruffles, I feel bad.
He's like fucking. He's like Rodney Dangerfield in this movie. They keep giving him these like one-liners, and you're like, "What is going on?"
Yeah, he does like that Patton Oswalt joke where he says that they have like whenever he does a lot of punch-up work on movies, and they're like, "Oh no, we don't want you to do that. We want you to go through all these like unfunny things and like add a character that's in
and
there
that's that
what
kind
it of is. Says a one-liner."
Yeah,
that's what you know.
It's clearly
I
punched
just
up. Like
my bottom and fell into some butterscotch, and it's like now you know that. But it's silly.
It's clearly that's, what it is, too.
Those are all of Ruffles' lines. They're very weird and erratic and like...
out of place, like they weren't in the original flow of the writing.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
He doesn't feel like a real person. You don't kind of get the sense, like with Cary Elwes in Liar Liar. Because, you know, he's very cool and aloof in The Princess Bride. And he's very, you know, like, as you wish. And then in Liar Liar, he's like, hey there, Gipper. Like, you can believe that he's a total nerd. And you can also believe that he's like a debonair guy.
Yeah. You can go either way.
Whereas Ruffles, you're like, you don't deliver one-liners like that.
No, you don't. You don't even know your fiancé's name.
Okay. So anyway, now Jennifer Aniston is sobbing in the airplane bathroom. She's upset because she doesn't fit in with her family. She leaves the bathroom and then they have this whole like coordination how they're going to get out of the bathroom so that nobody knows. But it's like, we all know because nobody saw you leave the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then somebody
all know
else
you're in
walked
there.
Into the bathroom. And then you guys have been talking very loud.
Through a thin plastic
door. Everyone can hear you in here.
She's been sobbing. They probably think he's beating her in there or something like
this. And they've been like bumping into everything and falling. And
that's what you constantly hear. Like plastic creaking, like those plastic,
oh God,
yeah, like
what's
the
going
door.
On in there?
It's all you hear through the whole scene, and then she's sobbing. And I was done with this movie before. Where is Costner? And they made me wait 34 minutes and 40 seconds for him.
Yeah, James stopped it at 19 minutes something, and he goes, "Are they going to introduce Cos at 20 minutes?"
Well, I thought he'd be the plot point, but he's not.
No.
He's not the plot
Well,
point.
He is. But anyway, so she
leaves
the bathroom.
He's the beginning of the second act instead. Yeah. That's his job.
Which, you know, he's leading off the second act. That's good.
It's good. I mean, you want to lead off hot. That's the thing. You put somebody who's going to get on base, and I'll tell you
Kevin
what.
Kevin Costner only leads off hot.
He's going to get on base.
Yeah.
Or round him, if you know what I'm talking about, ladies. He's Kevin Costner. Watch out. He might have done it with your grandma also.
Okay, but, sorry. Hey. Ladies, not even ladies. Also gentlemen.
Well, gentlemen do. That's what I mean. Gentlemen, anybody.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Grandma.
Yeah. Grandpa.
Grandpa. It doesn't matter.
Watch yourselves. Okay. So this fat guy walks into the bathroom while Mark Ruffalo is still stuck in there. So, you know, just to let you know, this is a comedy movie.
Yeah, he's crammed in. And Ruffalo's not like, hey, I'm fucking in here. Can you let me out? Yeah. They're like, how's it going today? Oh, okay. Blah, blah, blah. And they're like having a conversation. It's like, get your fat ass off of me.
I'm trying to leave the bathroom. I didn't have plain sex. And then I had to comfort my sobbing fiance.
My dick was hard 35 seconds ago. And then my fiance sobbing. I got you with your ass up against me. No, get the fuck out of here, fat ass.
Unless you came in here to help me out.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
So you're not blowing out your smoked almonds in here. Fuck off. Go. Back to the main cabin with you. Out of the bathroom. Sorry, we're never going to get through the movie.
I'm so upset.
We're maybe four minutes and 30 seconds into this fucking movie.
Okay, so we've landed at the airport, and Jennifer Aniston is briefing Ruffles on how to get along and talk with her family. And it's really weird. She's like, don't bring up this.
Don't bring up the death penalty. Don't bring up the guns.
Don't bring up the Rams. Yeah.
That's a good one if you want to talk about the Rams moving out of L.A. That's a good subject. Tennis is good. European travel is good. He likes to travel.
Yeah.
These are safe subjects.
So as soon as they meet with Dad at the airport in the baggage claim, he meets Ruffalo and he's like, hi, so what are your intentions with my daughter? Like, oh my God, right at the baggage claim, sir. Yeah. And then Mark Ruffalo is very good and he says, I know I would take her to a Rams game if they were still in L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's
which that's, you're nailing it right there. And
the dad's like,
don't even get me started.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Jennifer Aniston also kind of prepped him on that they have these tunnels where you're supposed to hold your breath through them. And
yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's stupid and she's so embarrassed by it. But like in reality, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's her dad's kind of like a little corny with her, and like, who gives a shit? I don't know. Who cares? He's got a Dole Kemp bumper sticker, and he's got like a Cadillac, and a polo shirt, and he's like, I am Pasadena Dad. That's who he is.
We're at the house now, and we see that Mina Savari is Jennifer Aniston's sister, and we meet her fiance as well. Mina Savari hugs Ruffles and says that he's really cute, which is super weird.
But
I've noticed that because they did that in The Wedding Date.
Where
Amy Adams hugged Mulroons, and then she's like, oh, he's hunky. And it's like, weird with my boyfriend.
There's always like an aunt, too, who's like, oh, I'd like to get a piece of his penis. And you're like, what are you talking about, Aunt?
Piece of his penis.
Aunt Margaret. Aunt Margaret.
No.
Do not.
Nobody says piece of his penis.
Aunt Margaret does.
No.
She's wild. Okay. You should have seen her when she was younger. She's like,
she's like
Blankenship on Mad Men. She must have been a wild one. Oh, she died.
Okay, so the sister immediately asks, when are you guys getting married? Which, again, nobody cares. For you to be like, oh, I don't want to ruin her weekend. Like, nobody cares. The weekend will still be about her. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Mina Savari is really loving planning a wedding. Jennifer Aniston is such a misfit, even though she is very pretty. And she's like, ugh, like, I just don't fit in here. And it's like, okay, sorry.
So what if everyone's blonde? Who gives a shit? Who cares? That's the only real complaint she has. It's like, I'm not as blonde as them and my dad drives slow and I don't. That's how she said. That's literally
that's what she's upset about.
Why she doesn't fit in. Because she says, I'm not blonde.
I don't like tennis.
I don't like tennis and my dad drives slow and I don't.
Yeah.
And we don't have the same politics. Because obviously, if you don't have the same politics as your older parents from, you know, Pasadena, and I'm sure you're adopted at that point or something. You know, that's.
Oh, how dare you want to be your own person?
Yeah, and you don't like tennis. I mean, tennis is you either like tennis or you don't. It's not for everybody.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fun. I like tennis. It's fun. I haven't played it.
I only
time,
like Wii tennis.
Yeah, Wii tennis is fun. I like ping pong. I prefer ping pong to tennis.
I know.
Yeah, I can do that. But either way, yeah,
we're having a party now.
Yeah, because
it's the night before the wedding, so we're having, I think, the rehearsal dinner type thing.
Something like that.
We meet Shirley MacLaine, and she is Jennifer Aniston's grandma. She is smoking at the bar. Jennifer Aniston is a journalist again, just like in The Bounty Hunter. And
same character,
she is
much.
Confiding in her grandmother about being engaged and her reaction. Like, she's like, you know, like, I'm just kind of on the fence about it. Like, I don't really know.
Like, I don't know. Like, grandma.
There's no reason for me to not want to marry him, but for some reason, I don't want to get married. And like, for some reason that she feels like that's not a normal feeling. And then, the grandma says, like, okay, so what, you want more out of your life? And she goes, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, join the club. Everybody wants more out of their life.
Yeah, relax, sweetheart, is what she says. Listen here, honey.
Honey.
I'm going to give you some hard truths.
Ruffles makes a lot of weird comments, and, like, this is his major scene for that.
Yeah, he's got the weird, like, because he's being introduced around everybody.
He's being introduced to everybody.
Everybody keeps telling him the same thing, nobody comes from Los Angeles. They come to Los Angeles. But if they are from Los Angeles, they're from Pasadena.
Yeah.
Everybody at the party tells him
that.
But
they go to go put their stuff down, and, you know, Jennifer Aniston says, like, you have to sleep in the other room. And he's like, why? And he goes, well, because, you know, it's Pasadena. And he's like, oh, what, nobody has sex in Pasadena?
Yeah, nobody has sex in Pasadena. Like, I'm sorry, but I flew 3,000 miles. I don't care if we're in Glendale.
I'm an adult.
Fucking Beverly Hills. Yeah. You know, I don't care.
I suppose it's to be... Well, no, because the dad didn't even say anything about it.
No, he didn't say shit.
Yeah.
I flew out here. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Orange County. I don't care if we're in Riverside. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah. And then also somebody was talking about Pasadena, and he said, so you've been here before. And Mark Ruffalo says that he was stationed here at an internment camp down the street. Like, he's just saying these really weird lines.
People are just looking at him like,
yeah, like he's an alien.
Like, what are you, high or something? That's what they look at. Yeah. They're all looking at him like he's on acid.
Yeah. And then here's another line that seems like he's not a real person. When Mark Ruffalo meets Jennifer Aniston's grandma, she says, oh, hi, you don't look like a lawyer. And he says, you don't look like a grandmother. And then she says, oh, you are a lawyer. Yeah, so full of shit.
Full of shit.
Okay, anyway. Ruffles is at the, they're doing the speech, and Ruffles points out to Jennifer Aniston that her parents wasted no time. They were married. They married like 8 or 9 months before she was born. So she's like, dang, you know, like, what's up?
Yeah. What's up with that?
Which is a gross thing that everybody always brings up. And it's like, so my sister and I, we have the exact same birthday, but we're 2 years apart. Right. And everybody has always asked us, they're like, oh, so you guys were daddy's birthday presents. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but that's gross.
That's disgusting.
And then you finally figure it out, like, you do the math, and then you're like, why do people ask you this? That's so weird. Like, yeah, I'm, you know, I was my dad's birthday present, like, they banged.
That's
gross.
Yeah, I don't want to
talk about this.
Why? You brought it up. Well, actually, the movie brought it up.
When people ask me that, I'm like, that's gross.
Yeah, that is gross. That is gross.
I don't want to talk about that.
Did Kevin Costner have sex with your grandma? That's the question.
I've never asked them, but I suppose I could.
You should ask her.
My grandma, one of my grandmas, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but she did date Cookie the Clown.
I don't know what that is. But
Bozo the Clown's sidekick.
Oh, sidekick.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
And his name is Cookie.
Oh, well, there's a certain kink to liking sidekicks. That's a thing.
Well,
it's a thing out there.
Anyway, so Jennifer Aniston goes over and asks her grandma very loudly if her mother had an affair and if she is the product of a different man. Oh, yeah, because the mom is
passed. Bunch of old ladies. He's going, I want to fuck that Ed McMahon. I wish he was alive.
They're at the... So the mom is passed away. And so... But Jennifer Aniston is like asking this question super loud, like right next to some other guy. And she's like, did mom have an affair? And like, she's screaming at the party. And it's like, what are you doing, ma'am?
Yeah.
There are people here.
There are people here.
Your dad's in the middle of having a speech. But this whole movie... is like that, because they argue at the party super loud. Like, they're always talking about this weird shit.
In front of people. And
in
people
front
are
of
like,
a lot
huh?
of people.
What? Yeah. Ouch. They're always like comments from the peanut gallery, because they're, you know, speaking about private matters in public.
So now Jennifer Aniston is on the hunt for some information here. So she goes to go see her mom's friend, Kathy Bates, who she calls Aunt Mitzi.
Yeah.
And Kathy Bates says that there's only ever been so she said that her mom's only ever been with her dad and Bo Burrows. And you're like, oh, who's this mysterious Bo Burrows
But
guy?
You know it's Cosner.
You know
Bo Burrows?
You
Come
hope
on.
It's Cosner. That's
Costner. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, you hope all, I hope Kathy Bates would rip her mask off like a Scooby-Doo villain and be Costner underneath it with all the characters. So, by the way, what a waste of Kathy Bates.
I know.
We have Kathy Bates. Let's use her in one, like,
for 3 minutes.
Maybe 2.5 minute scene where she really doesn't, she sits on a couch and says, oh yeah, your mom banged this guy one time.
Okay.
That's what we'll use her for.
Here's a question, James. Would you rather have 3 minutes of Kathy Bates and the allotted time that we've had with Kevin Costner, or would you rather have 3 more minutes with Kevin Costner?
All Costner all the time. I don't even have to think about it. This movie should have just been Costner in a room sipping tea with the camera on him. And I would have said, that's a great film right there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful motion picture.
You study, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is sexuality. And
okay,
you look at
you
it and you go, yes, it is. It's sensual.
We watched that Whitney Houston documentary.
Hmm.
And they were playing these interviews of Kevin Costner about, like, where he's talking about Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just see this beautiful girl.
That's exactly how he said it. I just see this beautiful girl.
And you're like, oh, shut up. But you're so happy that he said that, obviously, because you want him to say that about you.
I would love it. I just see this beautiful girl. He'd be like, thank you, Kevin.
He sees me.
Thank you.
He sees the real me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy. That's the thing, but there's something, I don't know what it is about the Costner.
See this beautiful girl.
See this beautiful girl. He lives on planet Costner. He's one of these guys. I saw this interview one time, and he was talking about politics, right? Like, they were asking him about politics. He was part of a larger interview. And they were asking him about guns. And he had the weirdest, I don't, whatever your opinion is on guns is irrelevant.
We're only talking about Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I'm not. Whatever your opinion on guns, it's probably not in this planet. It's probably, you know, tied to the world and the universe, whereas Costner isn't. He goes, you know, I just think these guns and, you know, it's just the guns, it's like a, it's an heirloom to be passed down from father to son, grandfather to grandson. And if that's what everybody did, then I think the world would be a better place. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's wild.
That has nothing to do with the subject at hand.
No.
Yes, it's nice if a grandfather gives his grandson a rifle, I guess. I don't know.
Or just an
heirloom.
What
does that have to do with fucking street crime or, you know, stockpiling weapons or militias or whatever the fuck you want to get into? Didn't want to get into that. He was like, it's an heirloom. And
he
you're just like,
on a micro level.
He lives on a planet like, I think it's all Dances with Wolves to him. I think he lives on
Waterworld.
Yeah, and Waterworld. That's what it is. I think wherever they film Dances with Wolves, he just bought that plot of land. And
that's where he lives now.
He just walks back and forth going, I just think it's an heirloom. And, you know.
He does. He truly does live on another planet.
I just
we love him for that.
It's Planet Costner.
Okay, so Kathy Bates is doing some math here, and she's like, holy shit, because they're talking about Charles Webb. Why does the name Charles Webb sound familiar? Oh, Charles Webb's that guy that wrote that book. Oh my God, holy shit. Didn't your mom say she was going to Mexico? So Kathy Bates is kind of doing some, like, you know, math here, and she's, you know, laying the foundation for, holy shit, Jennifer Aniston is going to think that Bo Burrows is her dad.
Exactly.
Ooh, and that her life is The Graduate.
And that there is a mathematical and circumstantial both possibility that this is possible.
And now how could you not be excited that your 6 degrees of Kevin Costner has gotten smaller? And you're like, wow, I'm in like 3 degrees of Kevin Costner.
That's what
right
I mean.
Now.
Even if he's not my dad, I came out of somewhere where he'd already been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's good.
So this is great, man. You felt good about yourself.
So, all right, so Jennifer Aniston becomes like Charlie in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and she's like, it's my family. We're the Graduate family. Holy shit. She's asking Mark Ruffalo to like pick up the VHS of The Graduate on the way to the wedding, and he's like, no, I got to get in the limo. She's like, I don't care. Go get The Graduate.
I want to watch The Graduate. She wanted to watch it in the church.
She's like getting ready for the wedding, and she goes, it's my family. Because, okay, so my mom did this, and blah, 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 and my grandma's up with Bo Burrows, and da, 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 and so he's probably my dad. And like, he's kind of like, Ruffles is kind of on board with
he's
this.
Like okay,
but like, we're also just at your sister's wedding. I just met your family today. Like,
one crisis at a time here.
Yeah.
Can we relax?
Yeah. I didn't get airplane bathroom sex.
No, I did get a fat guy grinding his ass on me, though. So that was more play than I got out of Jennifer Aniston. But other than that, yeah, it's going well.
Yeah. So anyway, the wedding happened, and it felt like the most boring part of the whole movie. So anticlimactic. It was just like, I don't remember it at all. I don't remember the wedding at all.
No. The wedding, I don't think it even, I didn't
no,
even really
it
show
happened.
It. Did they show it?
Yeah. They were at the wedding, and they were like, sitting in the pews, but I don't remember it.
Me neither. I guess it was boring. Who cares?
So the sister says that she woke up this morning and looked at Scott and thought that she was looking at somebody else, and now she is Mrs. Somebody Else. Jennifer Aniston and Mark Ruffalo are going to fly home, but Jennifer Aniston has hunted down the fact that she's hunted down where Bo Burrows is. He's in San Francisco. He is speaking at an event, obviously. Do you know why?
Costner. He's on. Where else would you want him to be but on a stage where you can get a good look at him?
Yeah, okay. So she finds out that he's going to do that. Mark Ruffalo is like, listen, I'm very supportive of you. I think you should go. You know, you should do this. You should solve this for yourself. So she's going to go to San Francisco to see if Bo Burrows is her father. Is the moment that we have all been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Costner.
The arrival of Costner. And it's a grand entrance.
It's a grand entrance because he is on stage and he is making a speech and it's very powerful. It's very emotional.
No one's listening.
Well,
they're not listening because they're staring.
They're listening with their hearts.
There's lust in every person's eyes.
Yeah.
All of them.
Curiosity.
It's all cock gazing.
Passion. Yeah. And it looks like they're all taking notes, but what they're actually doing is they're writing their phone numbers down.
He's like, hey, eyes up here, everybody. My eyes are up here. You know
they're writing
I mean?
Their phone numbers down. They're trying to work out a way that they can get their underwear off.
They're writing fantasies to send to like penthouse letters. You know what I mean? Like me and my love night with Kevin Costner.
As you naturally would do if you were
it's 97.
In the presence of Kevin Costner.
Yeah, you'd fantasize and you'd write some sort of love lust fiction over it. I mean, I would. I don't know about you people, but
I just see beautiful get it together. People out here.
I just see a bunch of beautiful people. I mean, it's just, you know.
Such a douchebag.
Planet's just
beautiful. It's so gross. When he said that, I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, even though you're like, yes, she is a beautiful girl. But you're also like, no, shut up. I don't like it when it comes out of your mouth.
I read a book. Whose book was it? God damn it. It was one of these Hollywood chicks that was married to, went out with a bunch of stars and all this shit. And she wrote this book. And in her book, she talks about how she went out with Kevin Costner.
Oh.
And she said she went to his house and she said he was like, you know, this big house in the Hollywood Hills. And she said he was just like so charming and everything in the house was like antique and French. You know what I mean? And he was just like,
God.
Hey, let me get you some wine. It's from the, you know, and he had like.
That's the thing is he doesn't care.
He was Mr. Smooth and she set his bedroom on fire with a candle by accident. And then he never talked to her again. Because he was mad at her and he was like, she set my fucking bedroom on fire and like, you're done. You can't, Kaz has standards. You're not going to burn, I don't care what you look
that's
like.
That's where the magic happens.
You burn Kaz's lair down, it's over with.
That's
yeah.
not good.
No, that's
you
what I mean.
You can burn something else down.
No, she set his bedroom on fire, like his curtains or something with a candle or some shit. She knocked something over and he wasn't happy.
Did you do that to Kevin?
Yeah, or like she was smoking in there. It was a cigarette and he was like, you know, I usually don't smoke in here, all the antiques, but you know, I guess it's all right. You have, you know, big tits and all.
I just want you to be yourself.
I just want you to be, you're just a beautiful, beautiful person in there behind a cloud of smoke or not.
It doesn't matter if you smoke. It
doesn't matter if you smoke.
You're my nicotine.
Oh no. Fire. Get out.
Oh, damn it. Okay. So anyway, after the speech, people are all congregating and they're having like a little social hour and they're all talking about how wonderful and how successful Kevin Costner is. You get little snippets from each conversation where they're like, you know, he grew his business 3 times before like this. And then he sold this and it's all leading up to.
He's got hundreds of millions of dollars.
Somebody
obviously.
Asking him. And they're like, oh, so you did this all in 3 years. And you got like $102 billion all in 3 years. Yeah. How did you do it? And he's just like, calm, cool, collected, witty, smart.
Yeah, I'm Costner. What the fuck? Why do you
like,
think
well,
I did
do you,
it?
Do you just like to, you know, because he likes to turn over, he builds businesses and sells them. And then he's like, you know, there's two schools of thought here. One school could be that I like to be part of the building and the, you know, the launching and the whatever, and then let somebody else be successful. And then the second school of thought is, what was the question?
What was the question?
Like,
I don't have the attention. He's like, oh, he's so charming.
Funny.
Yeah, no, he's trying
he's
to be
trying
charming.
To say, yeah, like, said, or I have, I'm like ADD. And
yeah,
I
he said, people
bored.
Say I don't have the attention span to really be a regular management piece and blah, 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 blah. And what was the question? Yeah, he was all.
Shooter McGavin is here.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin is here, and he can't even get an audience with Kevin Costner. He's always, all of his lines are like, hey, Bo, we could get 3 minutes with this guy. We could close the deal in 3 minutes.
49% at 70 million.
49% 70 million. You know,
numbers.
He's always, he's just saying, like,
before that was like 3185, Kevin, and then we got 1826. So you got to be careful for the
1346, and then the taquitos are done.
And the taquitos are done, Kevin. Like it was, he was just throwing out numbers. It didn't matter, you know. We don't know. And Costner's like says
I did
things:
chicken and beef. So we're gonna have good taquitos. Chicken and beef. It's okay.
I feel like that part of the script on the first draft, they just wrote business stuff, business stuff, business stuff. Yeah. Like I don't know any of that stuff.
And
I'll
then
fill
they're like,
it
just
in
plug in numbers because we then, didn't write actual dialogue here.
So then he watched like a couple of shows about it, and then he was like, Costner says things like controlling interests and things.
Yeah.
And that's what he says. Can we get controlling interest?
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker there.
Oh. So Jennifer Aniston is basically stalking Kevin Costner the whole time. She runs in. So she's like, you know, looking at him and staring at him. And he's like, hey, what's going on? How come you're being weird and staring at me?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no. Okay. Funny story. Because, you know, she, right now what she's probably doing is she's probably hoping like hell that, that he is not her father because she's so sexually attracted to him.
It's
and
Costner.
So flustered. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, it's, okay. Who's not? Who doesn't wish he? I mean, you wish he was your dad, yes, because then you get more Costner time,
but and you
then
get more Costner wisdom.
You're not going to be able to bang him. That's the problem,
yeah.
though.
You'll I mean, always have that sadness.
You'll want to, regardless. It's yeah.
But
you
there
can't.
Will always be that sadness.
You'll always be that yeah. sadness if everybody else gets to, except me.
So she. Okay. So she just comes right out with it, and she's like, "Do you know my mom? Her name is Jocelyn. Blah blah blah. It sounded." Something French, and I didn't even think to write it down.
Who cares?
So Kevin Costner seems to remember Jossie, but he's also very tender.
You're Jossie's daughter.
He's like, oh, wow.
Hey.
Oh, you're Jossie's daughter.
How you doing?
And he's like, wow, she was. And then this is where he's also very tender, okay?
Yeah.
He's a very tender man.
Well, it's Costner.
I'm so sorry to hear about your mom. Must have been painful.
You were young, weren't you?
Yeah. Must have been painful.
Must have been painful. I bet I
and
can
then
make
all of
feel
her
better.
Pain, all of her pain from whenever her mom died, just seemed to go away, which was weird.
Well, yeah, Costner makes the pain go bye bye. That's what,
yeah.
Because it's something
just
about
him caring about you.
Yeah, his jizz is an elixir. That's what it is. It's good for all that ails you. It's a jizz elixir. That's the thing, and it's just it'll solve all your problems.
No, okay. So she starts asking him about the graduate and if that story is true.
It's an aphrodisiac in Asia. They sell it like rhino horn.
He should start his own goop. It's
goop,
make,
literally.
Make a candle that smells like his jizz.
The essence of cause. That's what you call it. The essence of cause seed. You're like, cause seed? What is that? What kind of... To use cause seed? Is that like a caraway? God.
If Kevin Costner doesn't like... I'm sure that the band is doing well, but start the goop. Start the Kevin Costner goop thing.
Please. Whatever products you put out there, I'll figure it out.
We'll do free advertising on our show.
Yeah, we will. We'll give you... Cosjizz brand Cosjizz will get free advertisement for the run of the duration of the show, as long as we run every week. Cosjizz brand Cosjizz.
That's all we can offer you right now.
I mean, I don't have much else to offer you, Cos, but you know what? If you'll accept that, I'll offer it. That's what I'm
saying.
Okay.
Okay. So Kevin Costner is so humble. He's like, yeah, that story is about our life. It's, you know, it's all true, but they missed a few things because
I never actually
graduated college. But the movie called The Dropout wouldn't be that good. And it's like,
yeah, they didn't do my penis justice, actually.
I still bagged your mom and your grandma, but I didn't actually graduate college. And it's like, oh, okay.
And it was, oh, and I didn't run away with your mom at the end, obviously.
Yeah.
At the end of the graduate, obviously. He breaks into the wedding and they take off on the bus and they're like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Now what?
But that doesn't happen here.
Mark Ruffles calls and tells her to just ask him, like, flat out. I agree, because... You're like 30 years old. It's not like you're asking him to pay for anything. Like you're not asking to move in with him, or you're not asking for a kidney or anything.
Pay for
like
my
that.
Braces or something.
You just want to make sure that this is your dad. So you're in a safe space to just be like, hey, what's up? Are you my dad? Like,
yeah, that's all. If so, maybe we'll exchange email addresses or something, you know, so you can send me nudes. I mean, God damn it. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
I just, I can't help it, Dad. You're just so goddamn attractive.
Handsome.
You're handsome.
Okay. So it turns out that Kevin Costner's only flaw, we do find out his only flaw, is that he is sterile.
And this isn't really a flaw. I think it's a,
it's no, it's just, it's tragedy.
For
he
him,
had
yeah,
blunt
he wants.
Testicular trauma.
Again, this is the movie being like, well, he's got, it can't be her daughter, his daughter, because otherwise we have to do it like a whole thing with a DNA test. That's boring. So let's just make it like this. And rather than give him something that made sense, let's try to make it funny.
Yeah, because they keep saying blunt testicular trauma over and over again.
They think that's funny.
And the one thing that I did think was very upsetting is that Kevin Costner never considers the fact that maybe his sperm fought through the trauma and came out normal. You know,
it is.
It's very strong.
It is. He's a very strong sperm. I don't know why they couldn't just say like he had polio or something. He was born in like 1945.
No, because he's got to be a soccer hero that gets blunt testicular trauma.
Yeah, but he didn't even get the goal.
But
the goal got blocked.
Yeah, but why wasn't he like a football star? Because nobody's really a soccer star. Oh, you know what? Because he's different.
Never mind.
I answered my own question.
Plus, I'm surprised it wasn't baseball because Costner is obsessed with baseball and
he's had several
films where he's a professional baseball player. So.
Yeah, but then he's not even playing a character. I think the soccer part is just to have him play a character.
I guess so. He's like, you know, they just expect me to play
baseball.
Because
he doesn't actually work at the post office, but he is the postman.
They just expect me to play baseball. That's what it is,
yeah.
Man. They expect me to
I
do that.
I have other interests.
I have other interests besides baseball, like soccer.
I like soccer.
And multi-generational
sex. What is that called?
Which?
No Holds Barred.
No maybe, Holds Barred.
Maybe you should ask Hulk about his charity work.
Hey, brother.
Have you ever considered that maybe the cause likes soccer?
Why don't you ask me about my charity work, brother? Yeah, why don't you ask me about my soccer playing, brother?
Yeah.
I was a big star.
So now Jennifer Aniston, so she's leaving. She's like, okay, thanks for your time. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
And now she has to live with the fact, knowing that her dad is her dad, her family is her family, she is who she is, and she does what she does, and, you
that's
know,
it.
That sucks.
Life sucks, and I gotta jump in and swim in it.
And I mean, okay, she's not really even factoring in that she also has to fight this unhealthy magnetism.
To her father?
To her,
no.
Maybe her father. She's
no,
like,
to Kevin Costner?
Yeah, she's like relieved that he's not her father, but then she's also fighting with, holy shit, did I want to have sex with my dad?
Yeah, she's got a lot going on in her mind anyway.
Yeah, that's confusing in itself.
Well, yeah, that's otherwise her journey is one of what? Why is she doing this now? That's
yeah.
The whole time, like her.
Well, she's obviously going through something, and we find out at the end what she's been going through. And
I
wish that we were kind of alerted to this before the fact. Because
yeah,
we don't. We're willing to go on the journey with you, Jennifer Aniston. We're willing to go. We are good passengers on these movies. We're happy. Give us a heads up where we're going.
Totally. Yeah, they try to just like redeem her at the last minute.
At the beginning, she's like, you know what? 6 months ago, my mom got really sick, and then 3 months ago, she died, and then I got to go to my sister's wedding, and then I got to go do this and that.
Yeah,
and the other.
And it brought
then
up,
you'd be like, oh, she's really going through something.
She's got something weird happening.
Yeah, she's got something going on, you know, and like because we also find out that the sister has problems too, but it just feels kind of rushed because the sister had like an anxiety attack on the way to the honeymoon.
Because they needed a place for Aniston to have some sort of like revelation. That's all that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that made no sense.
No.
It was completely out of her sister's character.
Well, yeah, because Jennifer Aniston's like, isn't mom beautiful? She's like, yeah, sure, whatever, because she didn't know her very well.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you'd still be like, yeah, mom is very pretty and I love mom, but I just wish that I knew her. Like, you could say that then. You don't have to be a weird robot.
That's what I mean. And also, too, like, her sister's not going to have, I don't know, her sister.
Yeah.
She, as she described her, she said, my sister bounces.
Yeah.
Like, she's just this person. And then they make her this completely different person for no reason part of the movie to make it convenient for Jennifer Aniston's character.
What's always really funny is that whenever they portray sisters in movies, there's always one that doesn't fit in and she's always grumpy and, you know, whatever, like me. And then the sister is always like a Labrador.
Yeah, the other sister's so happy and
like
fits in perfectly with the
dresses,
family. Every one of these movies.
Super, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, she's all, hi, hi, how are you? I'm getting married. Can you believe it?
Every one of those movies.
And then the sister's like, oh, God. And then, you know.
This is my sister. She's perfect. Date. Everyone loves her. She stole my boyfriend in the 10th grade. Yeah.
Terrible. So anyway.
He was at my house and took one look at her by the pool, and that was it for that. Yeah. It's the same thing.
So Jennifer Aniston should just go home right now, but instead she cries a lot in front of Kevin Costner,
She should go home?
Yeah.
Who's she sitting with?
She was standing next to Kevin Costner.
Yeah, so why would she be going home?
Because she...
You mean with Kevin Costner? Costner.
No.
Home to her home?
Yeah, she should
with
go
with Kevin Costner.
No.
Oh.
With her fiance Mark Ruffalo.
So she should go to a hotel with Kevin Costner and have sex with
him. No, she should go home.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
To New York.
That's super weird. All right. Thank
you. She should not want to have sex with somebody who had sex with her mom and her grandma.
Yeah. Which is less attractive?
Oh, no.
Let's say Kevin Costner only had sex with one of your female relatives, your mother or your grandmother. Which would make you more likely to want to have sex with him, mother or grandmother?
Neither.
But I mean, let's say, if you had to choose.
No.
Between if you had sex with your mom or you had sex with your grandma.
No.
Which is worse?
Both.
One's got to be worse.
No.
I think it's grandma. I think that's worse.
I think it's equally as bad.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But it's...
If the cause was trying to have sex with my 81-year-old grandma right now, who has dementia, I'd be mad at him.
Well, I mean, she'd probably have a good time.
No.
Yeah, it's Costner.
Okay. So anyway, she's crying a lot in front of Kevin Costner, and they go walk around and they go out to dinner because he can't have her looking so sad.
Let me buy you a meal.
Yeah.
Let me get you some food in you there.
So Cos tells us in the restaurant, we're going to the Church of Cos now, that his religion is to be present.
The Church of Present.
The Church of Cos. So then they're watching TV, and on TV, Bill Clinton's on TV, and Jennifer Aniston asks Kevin Costner if he knows Bill Clinton.
She says, do you know him? Him, like there's some guy, the guy was president for like 5 years
at
that
point. She's asking him, like, do you know him? Like, because like, he's super rich, so he knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the Costner says this, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really knows him.
I don't think anyone really knows him.
Yeah.
Because he's deep.
Because he's so deep.
That's the thing. You're not getting your standard brand horseshit answers out of Costner. You're getting the real deal, straight dope, shooting from the hip, Cos facts.
Yeah.
That's what's coming toward you right now.
You're getting hot Cos
hot
over your face.
Cos covered in it. Boom. That's right.
Okay. So she takes a long, hard look at herself
worth
in the mirror in
diamonds.
The bathroom. She is very drunk, and she's taking a long, hard look at herself in the mirror. Everybody's had this when you've had a few too many to drink, where you're like, what am I doing with myself? and this is like the look that you give yourself like right before you make stupid decisions.
Yeah, when she's certainly...
But she knows what she wants to do.
She makes a great decision.
And what she wants to do is she wants to fuck the guy who fucked her mom and her grandma.
Like, obviously, who wouldn't?
Any warm-blooded American woman.
Clearly, duh. Okay. I mean, there's something in there.
So she walks up to him and just kisses him, and they're making out at the bar. Well, he's like, oh, whoa. Like,
hey,
you
what's
know?
Going on
and
here?
And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not.
And then she jumps on him.
Yeah, she jumps on him, smooching all over him. She wakes up at his house. Looks like he lives like on the coast.
Oh, it's like a...
It's gorgeous.
It's like a cliffside Monterey mansion. Yeah. That's what it is.
Apparently, he lives in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah.
She's walking around and he is doing yoga to cure his hangover because he's like, I found the best cure to hangover is you stand on your head like this and then you take a 3-mile jog and then you...
Followed by a swim in the ocean.
Swim in the ocean. He's like, it's better than coffee and aspirin.
And he's like, I bet you want coffee and aspirin.
Yeah.
She's like, I do.
Because you haven't achieved nirvana yet, enlightenment.
You're not Costner. Imagine how happy you'd be being Costner, how satisfied with yourself you'd be.
You'd be very satisfied, I think,
like,
if you were Costner.
I do everything wonderfully. Look at me, and everyone wants to have sex with me.
Well, yeah, because now 3 generations of women have fucked Kevin Costner.
That's it.
Jennifer Aniston is off to leave, but the Cos has to drive her there. So this is the whole ride where he's doing the sales pitch.
Oh, yeah.
That he had a very lovely time with her. You know, never mind that you have a fiance back at home. I want you to stay with me.
Irrelevant.
a la Honeymoon in Vegas, you know, it's a little hostage situation where, you know, I spend a lot of money on you and then make you feel bad for not wanting this lifestyle.
Yeah, but he never brings up money because money is an unlimited resource to this
Yeah,
guy.
He's just like,
he's got a private
we're gonna
planes.
Go to lunch.
And,
we're going to go to lunch. And she's like, oh, okay. And then they pull up to this plane. She's like, okay, I thought we were going to lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to fly into wine country right now.
And of course, he's flying the plane because he's Kevin Costner.
He's flying the plane and we can see his horses over in wine country. And
he's got like just a sprawling wine country estate with horse fucking stalls. And
meanwhile, Mark Ruffalo has been calling Jennifer Aniston on her cell phone like, you know, 800 times. He is rightfully very worried and distressed. Kaz invites her to this ball that he's going to. It's a Casablanca themed ball.
The Casablanca ball.
Casablanca, I think he calls it.
It's and the Casablanca ball.
She was like, okay, people still go to balls, one. And number two, like, no, this is super weird. You know, I was really drunk, and now it's kind of hitting me that I've had sex with you, and you have had sex with both my mother and my grandmother. This
Which is
weird.
You know, gross.
And she says that this is nuts. And we have the line of the movie, James, the Costner line of the movie, and really it's going to be my new, like, mantra.
What do we got?
So Kevin Costner says, I know it's a little nuts. Life should be a little nuts. Ah. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of Thursdays.
Otherwise, it's just a bunch of Thursdays. You know,
Costnerism.
Costnerism, number one, top of the list.
Top of the list. You Nobody really knows him.
No.
And then number two is life should be a little nuts. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of Thursdays.
Just a bunch of Thursdays, man. And that's the thing. And you know what doesn't happen on Thursdays? Nobody has Coscock on Thursdays because that's when I oil it down and keep it, you know, up to its. He's got to condition it and oil it up that day.
All right,
for the weekend.
She says, the weird thing is that she has this gown on. She looks great. She's dressed to the nines. I'm assuming he probably took her shopping. That's fine. But it's weird that she goes from, no, oh my God, this is weird, to the best party date ever. She's like,
she's shooting craps.
She's...
Yeah, she blew a guy. She's doing everything. She's got a lot going on.
Yeah, so she is dancing. Shooter McGavin comes up, and he's trying to close another
15,
deal.
29, 15, 86.
She's trying to close another deal
in three minutes.
Yeah. Kaz is never interested, but this particular one is piquing his interest. But I just think that he's trying to not waste his magnetism. Like, not worth my charm. I can't put that much out and not get anything back.
They're already in my beam, basically. I don't need it.
So some blonde man who is very crass shows up at the table with Jennifer Aniston. He's a young guy. We find out that he is Kevin Costner's son. And
you're
like, uh-oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Testicular trauma.
What the fuck? Costner has active cause seed. Watch out.
So Jennifer Aniston is freaking out because she thinks that she just had sex with her dad. And then we find out that Blake is obviously not his biological son.
Clearly not.
And what happened to his wife? Because he was married.
It's never mentioned.
It's not like, oh, you know, his mother died or his mother
is divorced. We assume she's dead.
Yeah, we have no idea.
I mean, that's all I can assume. I don't know why, but I assume she's dead.
He talks her out of being upset. And then so they're making out. And Mark Ruffalo, because he is magic, Ruffles is magic, kids. He shows up with his one-liner and he says, I hope that is not your father. Great line, great delivery. He's magic. Boom.
I hope that is not your father. And then pow, he comes into focus and it's Ruffles.
It's Ruffles.
He's ruffling all over that goddamn joint.
Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Aniston are having a very personal conversation and argument in public at the party.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jennifer Aniston and Kevin Costner. It's all like, it's like, I thought you had blunt testicular trauma. And everybody's like, ouch.
Yeah,
Why are you screaming about blunt testicular trauma?
At the wedding. Yeah, because they needed
a party. At the Casablanca ball.
Yeah, that's right, because they needed a moment of comedy. This is a dramatic scene. Let's break it up with some comedy.
So Mark Ruffles is very upset here, and he tells her, like, okay, well, if you love me, then let's go get married right now.
Hey,
she doesn't say anything, so he's mad. Wrong answer.
Wrong. Yeah, he wants to marry her, and she is very much like, I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, she's got, like, this... She plays the normally, like, the guy role in the movies, like, in a romantic comedy. It's like, I just don't know if I'm ready. And then, like, oh, but she's so perfect, and you should marry her, and all that shit. That's what's going
on
with her.
And he's being nice to you. What's your problem?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
so,
same shit.
So she goes to her grandma's house in Pasadena. The dad calls grandma's house. The sister is hysterical. She's having a complete meltdown. And I guess she had to get off the plane on the way to the honeymoon. Jennifer Aniston's having a meltdown at her grandma's house. She's saying that she ruined her mother's life. You know, she had to, she was pregnant. She came home and she just did that.
I ruined my mother's life. I ruined my mother's happiness.
Yeah, she ruined her mother's happiness.
Fucked it all up.
So Jennifer Aniston, oh, the sister only wants to talk to Jennifer Aniston. So Jennifer Aniston goes to comfort her at the dad's house. And so she's saying that she only married this guy because she likes to play tennis with him and that's it. Like, she doesn't like anything else. So Jennifer Aniston says, like, well, honey, you know, because this is her younger sister and I would never call my sister honey, but
honey,
that's fine. And if my sister wants to call me honey, I'm going to be mad. But anyway, she's like, do you have fun when you go out to dinner? Yeah. Okay. Do you have fun when you go do this? Yeah. Okay.
She's,
do you
like to watch TV together?
Yeah. I like to watch The Nanny. And she goes, The Nanny's funny.
The Nanny's funny.
So she's like because we do often give the advice we need to hear.
Yes.
The advice that you're giving out is usually something that you need to hear. So,
yeah, usually.
Well, if you're giving somebody else advice, then you should be like, uh-oh, what kind of shit am I putting myself through?
What kind of shit am I putting myself through?
All right, so grandma's trying to loudly get Jennifer Aniston a Xanax, like a really strong one, because her boyfriend broke up with her.
Yeah, she's on the phone with the doctor. Going, she broke up with a boyfriend. She needs something stronger.
Yeah, it's like, smoking, well, there is smoking. Alcohol.
Yeah, give her, I'll write you a script for booze right now. Yeah. Here you go.
Give her some wine.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Okay, so Jennifer Aniston tells her sister, you know, you're not so bad because you married somebody and you're not sure if you wanted to be married to them. I fucked the same guy that grandma and mom did. So she's telling the sister about this.
How gross is that?
And the sister really needed this because she wanted to feel closer to
Aniston, the mom.
The mom, yeah. So she was like, I feel like I don't know her. Like, I didn't know anything about her. Like, you know, whatever. And so, like, hearing that her mom had an affair and, like, holy shit, it's also the same person that grandma slept with is weird and crazy and whatever.
It's weird and crazy.
So Kevin Costner is somehow outside of Jennifer Aniston's dad's house. Grandma sees him outside. And so she goes and she has a confrontation with Kevin Costner. And he's basically saying that he didn't make anybody fuck him, which is true.
He does. Well, he doesn't make anyone fuck him.
He said they came to him. He's
they
like,
come
I'm
to
pretty
me.
Sure she got it in her head that I was her dad and she came looking
that's
for
it.
Me.
And next thing you know, I mean, I can't
do,
help
not
it.
Not cause her down.
Well, that's the thing. You're gonna cause her up because
you're going to cause her up big time.
He can't help his magnetism.
Yeah.
So when they come to him, what's he supposed to do? Turn him away?
Yeah. What is he going to do? Tell Jocelyn,
no.
Oh, hi, thanks for coming all the way to Mexico.
I'm not going to give you that. No, I'm not going to lay down the cause law. I don't think so.
So then the dad comes out and he's mad at Kevin Costner as well. And he's like, oh, shit, probably, you know, because he thinks maybe he knows that he fucked his wife before they got married. And it turns out he is mad at Kevin Costner for the soccer game. And
blocked
then
his goal,
man. He's the one that actually kicked Kevin Costner in the testiculars.
Yeah, he's the one who
traumatized
them. Blunt testicular trauma.
So then alone time with Jennifer Aniston and Kevin Costner. And she says, why did you come down here? I came because you left without saying goodbye.
You left without saying goodbye.
And then he said that when she left, it may have been Cabo 30 years ago. Disgusting. And she does bring up, she says, like, I'm not my mother.
Yeah,
because
he says,
true.
It was like watching your mom walk away 30 years ago. It's like, what? This is gross.
Yeah,
you're talking
you're
about.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you're talking about, oh, after I got done dicking down your mom, she walked away the same way I get when I got done dicking you down. That's super gross.
And I guess I just wanted to follow you because I didn't want to screw it up a second time. And it's like, you're nasty.
Yeah, I should have kept your mom the first time, but instead, it's pretty gross. And then also, he was saying, I wish you didn't exist at that point, because he's like, if I stayed, because if he was with the mom, she wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So that's what he was saying.
Definitely because of the blunt testicular trauma.
I just wish I would have banged your mom more and you wouldn't exist.
Yeah, but now we get to the crux of why Jennifer Aniston is so weird. She's saying that she is a year older than her mom was when she died, so she's just trying to figure out. Like, that's a weird feeling, and that is a weird feeling. I mean, my parents got married when they were 19. I remember when I turned 19, I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm not married.
Yeah, what? Oof, I'm not ready for all that.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, I would never get married right now.
No shit.
I'm 31 and I feel like I'm barely responsible to have a husband. How often do I have to water you, dear?
I keep pretty moist.
Oh, okay.
The good thing is I hold in the dry, hot weather.
That's very good.
You don't have to water me. That's why I was... I was good to get because I don't require a lot of pay.
Right.
Once a year with the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway,
show me a Costner movie every once in a while. It'll keep me going. And
it'll
excited.
Keep you going.
Yeah.
So she gives herself some therapy and she also gives the cause some therapy here too, which is well accepted from Kevin Costner. She's basically saying like that we're both chasing ghosts and she's like, I was trying to get closer to my mom because I realized I didn't know her and whatever.
Through your penis.
And, yeah, I mean, that's one way to do it.
Your penis has brought me closer to my mother.
Yeah. The sister and the husband go off on their honeymoon. The first one was canceled because of the panic attack that she had. Jennifer Aniston is having a really depressing heart-to-heart with her mom, with her dad now.
Oh, God.
She's like, did mom ever tell you like that she cheated on you? Did she ever tell you why she cheated on you?
I don't think this scene was necessary.
No, because now this movie is not a comedy at all. And he's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I absolutely know that I'm the safer option. And... you know, truth be told, I'm upset that Kevin Costner didn't ask me to go down to Mexico.
Me too, honestly.
And let me tell you something.
Cause if
I don't
listening.
Know if I would have gone back.
Why would you?
Yeah.
If the option is...
Oh, I'm talking about this is what the dad's saying.
Yeah. The option
like,
is...
Like, I would have... I don't blame her. Bo Burrows. And
I don't
wow.
blame her. I mean, shit. I saw him outside and he's pretty sexy now. I almost told him to take me in the back seat. You know what I'm saying? Put the
take
top
to
up.
Take me to Half Moon Bay.
Take me to Half Moon Bay, sailor.
Yeah,
I'm ready for
put
business.
Put the top up because you always want to have a conversation in the car and...
yeah. When they're driving, they don't... You know, like in a nightclub or in a convertible driving 40 miles an hour
it's
in a
so
movie,
there
people are like, yeah, so I went the other day to this. Oh, okay. This are just like,
said Kevin's
you know, I'm telling you right now. And there's wind blowing through their hair. No. You're not. She'd be like, what? I can't. It's fuck. We're on the fucking. I can't hear you. You're going 45 miles an hour.
Nothing.
Wind whipping around. We're by the ocean. I don't hear a goddamn thing you're whispering.
So Jennifer Aniston starts crying and she says, Dad, why do I feel so different? How come I don't like tennis? Or how come I drive so crazy? You drive so slow. And it's like, okay, you mean how come you're a person?
How come you have things? Yeah.
How come you're your own person? Like, be yourself, Jennifer Aniston. It's okay.
Yeah. She didn't say, why am I 6'8" or why am I, you know, fucking Chinese or something.
Allow,
that wasn't why.
Yeah,
she's, you know.
Allow yourself. Yeah. To be.
Exactly. Yeah,
give
I could see that.
Give yourself permission to be yourself.
That's all. Just be you.
I might
you.
Be having a moment and giving myself my own advice.
I'm going to say, you be you, Jennifer Aniston, while I look at you.
Do it. Don't look at me. Jennifer Aniston goes back to New York to go see Ruffles. This movie is definitely not a comedy anymore. She says that she is happy.
No.
She's happy to go marry him next month, next week, or, you know, let's we can walk out of his apartment and do it right now.
I will marry
but
your
this
ass
is her,
right now.
This is her line, though. This is supposed to be delivered kind of like Jerry Maguire, like, you know, you had me at hello. She was like, I'll marry you next month. Next week, or we can leave right now and go do it. I don't care. I just want to be with you.
Yeah. And he's just like,
so
his
he's
response?
Like, no.
No, he has no response. His response is.
And then she has another like iconic line, which hopefully I think that they were really trying to stack the lines so that they could get one. And she says, I didn't come here to tell you that I can't live without you. I can live without you.
I can't live without
I just
you.
Don't want to.
That's
I broke
the,
up with Kevin Costner. I'm not doing okay.
That's it. And he let her walk out that door.
Yeah, he let her walk out that door because Ruffles is stone
walk
cold.
On.
All right. He drives a hard bargain here. He says literally nothing. So she leaves the apartment and I have expected Kevin Costner to be in the elevator.
Right, so did I.
I was like, no.
Here he is.
He's here to console
instead?
You.
Instead?
And he's like, Mark Ruffalo, we're going to use your bed to have sex.
Ruffles.
Can you put that 8x10 of Jennifer Aniston up closer over here? It's a huge picture.
It's this giant picture of her face, but she's like laughing.
It's clearly from a red carpet event.
It looks like it's from a group shot, and they were just like, just take her face and blow it up into a portrait.
What size? 8x10.
Just 8x10, huge. Like a... like a piece of loose leaf paper. Really,
we really
put it out there.
I want the people to understand that Mark Ruffalo loves Jennifer Aniston.
And this is where he turns magic.
Yeah. Right, because here. Then as she gets out of the elevator in the lobby, there's Mark Ruffalo. Ruffles his magic
there,
again.
Boom. Ah!
He's magic. He showed right up.
Beat her down 8 floors on the stairs while she went down the elevator.
And he's like, all right, fine, cool. And then the grossest agreement ever to getting married is he's like, if we have a daughter, she has to stay away from Bo Burrows.
She's not allowed within 1,000 miles of Bo Burrows.
I never want to have that conversation.
And then
with
what did
you.
She say?
It ends with me.
It ends with me, which I'm like, ew. It just sounded
it was so comforting and also so gross.
It sounded like he's left his last load in somebody and it's me. You know what I mean? Like, that's for some reason, that's what I got out of that. And if I'm Ruffles, I just went away. My nose would crinkle. I went, ew. You know what? Gross. I'm going to reconsider this.
I can't tell you how much the crinkly face is the funniest thing in the whole world. It makes me laugh every time. I will find things I know will make the crinkle face happen. And
she finds
so
things to gross me out so I make a face out of it.
Because you are so
laughs.
Easily grossed out.
Well, I am. And that would have been like, no.
Never mind.
Why'd you have to say it like that? I was ready to marry you, man. What the fuck, dude?
Okay.
Keep on talking.
So now we have a wedding montage because we have to remind ourselves that this is a comedy movie.
Montage.
So it's a wedding montage. Grandma ashes her cigarette out on the bouquet. Everybody's dancing. Grandma's grabbing up on, what's his name? Mark Ruffalo's butt.
Yeah, she throws the bouquet over everybody's head and lands on
the
Shirley MacLaine's table.
Grandma,
so she uses it as an ashtray.
Yeah, that's she ashes out on it.
Not interested, sweetheart. She's 70 years old.
That's it. It's over.
That's it. Happy end. Yeah, the wedding. By the way, they don't have like a wedding scene.
No. It's
this
a
movie is
the end.
Cut right quick. Like the montage is over the credits. It's during the credits.
Yeah.
They start the credits. It's over. And there's a montage of the wedding, like in home video format.
Yeah.
It's not even like, you know, it's, you know, clearly looking like a 90s camcorder is what they're doing. And they're like cutting it around like that. It's fucking weird. But. That is it.
Well, James, so I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah, what?
Okay.
Anything.
Stop me if you've heard this.
Please.
Not everyone is from the Hygelmeter.
No.
But you can go to the Hygelmeter.
Shall we?
And chances are, if you are from the Hygelmeter, you're probably from Hygeldina. You want to go to Hygelmeter?
To the Hygelmeter!
The Hygelmeter is our unit of measurement, the way we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Hygel to 5 Hygels. 5 Hygels being the most punishing, worst movie you've ever seen in your life. 1, not that bad. James, I went first last week, so I will allow you to go first this week.
I am going 0 Hygels.
Wow.
0. It would be, and here's my formula too, okay? It would be. It would be a full.
I just asked you to think 0 is appropriate.
It would be. You don't understand. It would be.
I can't.
Okay. It would be a full 5 Hygels. Painful, punishing, like being, you know, beaten with fucking lawn equipment. It would be a full 5 Hygels, except Costner's in it.
Okay.
Any movie with Costner, it's getting 0 is the baseline. That's the worst Costner you could get. The Postman's negative 1,000 Hygels. That's the best Costner you can get. So anywhere in there, Bull Durham is high on the Costner meter. It's up near the Postman.
Shut up. I love Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is up there near that. It's high. It's all. These are all high Costner quotient movies. These are all high Costner quotient films. This is a bad Costner.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's in it obviously redeems it and saves it. And 0 is like a hole that Costner would fuck because it's something.
Got
and
it.
You can, yeah, so it's all that. 0 Hygels.
Well, 0 and then plus Kevin Costner makes 10. So they're
and
like,
so,
he's
yeah,
a perfect 10.
He's number 1.
Yeah.
And he's a perfect 10.
Got
so
it.
That works out. 0 Hygels, Costner movie. Beautiful. You?
35 Hygels.
35 Hygels. Wow.
For no reason.
No reason at all.
There's no formula, just 35 of
35
them.
35 Hygels.
This
well,
this is a really bad movie.
It's a bad. You couldn't make it 30 Hygels, the amount of years in between banging her daughter and banging
35.
Her and her mom.
No, I said what I said. It's
35 Hygels. Sake. That's what it is, folks. 35 Hygels. What do you want? It's what she said. She's spoken. I believe her. 35.
Them's the high goals. All right. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We obviously had a lot of fun. And if you had a lot of fun, you can tell us that, I guess, on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHighGold, YouGotHeigld. We do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon. Patreon.com/YouGotHighGold. Same spelling. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We talk Below Deck. We talk Secret Princes. We play games. Next week, we're going to play Make Your Own Rom-Com, where we pick our main characters, our love interests, on we see what they do.
Can't wait.
We leave it up to chance.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
And then, if you like this show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Please. 5 stars. If you
it
like
helps
it.
So much.
If you didn't like it, don't worry about it. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
And we have to sit through these movies. So, I mean, it's not just... So, it takes like, you know, 30 seconds to leave a review. It takes way longer to watch 3 generations fuck Kevin Costner. So, help us out.
That was only an hour 37. Okay.
Still,
so, anyway. But if you want to talk to us... us personally. Oh, sorry. We have merch. I skipped merch.
Yes,
we have merch. We're on highgleyourself.threadless.com. And we've got I'm Abroad shirts on there. We talk about, we have air rights and all that stuff.
There's a bunch of
them.
So
there's a bunch of shit on there. So go grab that there. And then if you want to talk to me on Twitter or Instagram, at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I do a complaint Monday every Monday. So if you feel like everybody's being really positive and all that wonderful stuff, you can come over to my Instagram and complain yourself, or
get your bitch on.
Read everybody else and their complaints, and you'll be like, wow, these people all have problems. Anyway, so that's at Sarah H is funny, or you can buy my books on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. I think that they are on, but it is Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, or Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. It's mostly just my food complaints. Find out what my complaints are about Santa. Public bathroom policies and
generally everything.
Complaints. Yeah.
Food life.
I really try to run
people.
The gamut on that. So anyway, it's, James, how can they find you?
It's at Jimmy P is funny. You can find me around. Just copy and paste my name. It's not, you're not going to spell it right. So just copy and paste my last name if you have to, or at Jimmy P is funny. Or you can find me on my other two shows, Small Town Murder on every Thursday, or Crime and Sports every Tuesday, which are hilarious shows that you should be listening to as well.
Yeah. And, congrats on being one of the top shows. Binge worthy.
Yes, they're doing very well. You should check those out. But this one, we thank you so much for putting up with this and this movie and lusting over Costner. You're fucking
obviously.
Welcome.
And do you want to hear a list of people who are probably lusting
I would love
Kevin
to.
Costner? Because
Me, tell me who lusts after Costner besides us this week. Who is it?
All right. Ooh. Ryan Lussier.
See?
Morgan Carlyon. Christine Valdez, Dina Horowitz, Alisa Kane, Emily Milligan Thompson, Brendan Williams, Patrick Pavone.
Hey, it's a Pavone.
A Douglas. Is it A Douglas? Is it A, like, that's your first initial?
I'm A
or
Douglas.
Or are you A Douglas?
I am just A Douglas.
In that case, I am a Sarah.
I'm not the Douglas, I'm A Douglas.
Rush Rosenberger, Shelby Hain, Autumn, and Cindy Johnson.
Wow,
thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Oh,
appreciate
and also Ashley Viodoti,
she's cool.
As always, she is my favorite.
She's awesome.
She is great. But, you know, James,
I don't
even know if we should tell them to go Heigl themselves this week.
We should tell them to go Costner themselves because they're going
to
go.
Or we should tell them to invest in the Cosjizz.
It's the IPO is it's coming public soon. So when it goes public, you want to jump on Cosjizz Enterprises.
What was okay? Yeah, we're gonna get Cosjizz.
CJE.
CJE. Anyway, go Heigl, go Cos yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.